Okay, good evening, guys. Time is of the essence. Now that we have Marav at the end of the shir, there's a hard stop, so we can't waste any time. We are on Daf Yutes, Amud Aleph. We are Maseches Brachos. I believe we're at the bottom of the Amud, right? So if you remember, the Mishnah was talking about a person who was involved in the Kvura or in the Levaya procession of a mace, what his chiyuv with regard to Kriya Shema. So just to turn back quickly to Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, so yesterday the sugya was about those who were carrying the mita, and then the Mishnah goes on and writes, so Nasi Amita v'chilufeyim v'chilufeyim, those who are, they're kind of like, it's like a, what's the word that I'm looking for? Procession, a, what do you call it? A conveyor belt? Not a conveyor belt. There's a name for it. Assembly line. Assembly line. Right? They're passing the mita along the assembly line. So eshlefnea mita, those who are before the bed. Veshlaachar mita, those who are immediately after the mita. And then Allah is eshlefnea mita tzarach ben peturim, those who are needed are potter. Veshlaachar mita tzarach ben chayavin, those who already carry the mita are chayiv. And then it goes veil veil peturim and tefila. Those, and both people are potter from tefillah. Now the Mishnah goes on. Kavros ha-meis. They buried the mace. V'chazru. Now they're going back. The Mishnah says, im yicholim lahaskev aligmor ad shalo yagiu l'shura, if they could start and finish kriyashma before they get back to the shura. So the shura is where they line up and the oval walks between. That's when they begin the process of nicham avelim. Halach is yaschilu. They should start. Im lav, there's not enough time. Lo yaschilu, they don't have to even start saying Kriya Shema. That's where we are in the Mishnah. Let's start with that part of the Gemara Daf Yutes Amud Aleph at the bottom. So the two dots cover Sameis v'Chazru. Now the Gemara says, im yicholim lahaschiv aligmor as kula, if they could start and finish the whole thing, it sounds like very clearly that you must be able to start and finish the entire thing. That's why the Gemara says in Aval Perek Echad, if it would just be one of the chapters, O Pasuk Echad, or just one Pasuk from Kriya Shema, lo. You wouldn't be able to just do one Pasuk. It's not enough to just read one Pasuk or one Parsha. But the Gemara says, there seems to be a contradiction. For a minu, we have a contradicting Brisa. It says, Kavru, it's a mace, they buried the mace for Chazru, now they're going back. Im yicholim lahaskev aligmor, if they can start and finish, very clearly, Afilu Perek Echad, even one chapter, O Pasuk Echad, just one verse, then they would say that one chapter or the one verse. So the diuk, the implication of our Mishnah seems to be a contradiction to this brisa. The Gemara says, no, hachanami kam. That's what our Mishnah actually means to say. Im yichalon lahask v'ligmar filu parak echad, if they could start and finish even one chapter, or filu pasuk echad, even one pasuk, then ach lo yigil l'shur, before they get back to the line where they're going to start the nicham avelim, yaschilu v'mlav lo yaschilu, if not, not. In other words, you have to be able to start and finish something. If you're just be able to say half a pasuk, don't bother that. In other words, if it's a short distance, you're basically just turning around and then going to the avelim, don't bother. But if there's some time where you have time to read at least one pasuk or one parsha, you should do that. Turning to the top of Yud Testament Beis 19b. Ha'om the Bashura. So the Mishnah told us, those who are standing in the line, so just to quickly read it from the Mishnah, Ha'om the Bashura, those who are standing in the line of this procession where they are offering the words of Tanchum of condolences, Hapnimiyim, those who are inside, in other words, going to be facing the Aval, Halacha is, Peturim, they don't have to say Kriya Shema. Vachitzonim, those who are behind Chayavim, they do have to say Kriya Shema. Now the Gemara analyzes this. Tan Rabbanan, Shura, Haroa Pnima, Petura, the line that can see the inside is exempt from Kriya Shema. V'she'eino Roa Pnima, those who can't see the Avelim inside, they are chayaves, they're obligated to say Kriya Shema. In other words, the fact that you're there at the time that the Avelim are passing is not an automatic exemption. Not everybody who's there is exempt. But only those who are inside, who are going to be in front of the Avelim, they are exempt, but those who are a few rows back do not have to say Kriya Shema. Rabbi Yehuda seems to disagree, and he says, Habayim achmas ha'avel, anyone who comes because they're there to be menachem avel, in other words, they know the avel, they care for the avel. The loss of this person actually is something which makes an impact on them and on the Aval, so they came because they're concerned for the Aval. It seems like what he's saying is, Whether you're a few lines behind or you're right there in the front, it makes no difference. If you're there for the purpose of offering condolences to the one who is mourning, the halach is you are pater. Machmas atzman, those who just came for their own reason, the halach is chayav, and they're obligated to say Kriya Shema. What does it mean, machmas atzman? Rashi says, machmas atzman, velo machmas kavod, they didn't come for the honor of anybody. Shalobo lenachim, they did not come for any reason of offering condolences. Elo liros es hama'ora, they wanted to check out what's going on. There's always those guys who see some activity, they see some action. Oh, there's people here, let's check it out, let's see what's going on. Those people are not pater from Kriya Shema. It's an interesting thing, because we did learn in the Gemara a couple pages back that if a person sees a levaya passing by, a person sees that they are being malava mace, whether or not you plan to go to that levaya, you should get out and offer your final respect to that person. So it's interesting that the Gemara seems to be differentiating between two different types of people. Whether or not you're there specifically for the purpose of offering the condolences, or you just came to check out the haq. Now I think that the difference is, when a person sees a levaya passing by, so there's a way to get involved. You get involved to pay kavod achron. But there are people who just want to check out the haq. If you're just checking out the haq, you know what? Check out the haq, see what's going on, see what all the activity is, but you know what? Say Kriya Shema. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. The reason why I said before it seems to be is because it's not 100% clear that that's what Rabbi Yehuda means. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even the front people, even the people who are in the front, it depends why they're there. And it makes sense, because those who need to check out the haq, usually those guys are all the way at the front, because you got to check out the haq. You've got to see what's going on. Who's Levi is it? Who's going to be speaking? Taking some pictures, getting a selfie. Those kind of people always make it to the front. It's not clear. I couldn't find the right which way he was saying. It could be if I looked in a little bit more. But again, his point is that if you're there for the purpose of Nichum Avelim, you don't say Kriya Shema. If you're there because you wanted to see what was going on, it seems like he's saying, regardless of where you're standing, you will have to say Kriya Shema. The Gemara goes on now, and it starts a fascinating sugya of Kavod Abrios. We're going to go through this, we'll try to get through the Yomid, we'll see how far we'll get, but the basic idea here is that we're going to mention a number of cases where a person might think that there's a mitzvah in the Torah, but because keeping this mitzvah might make one feel uncomfortable, therefore we would dismiss the mitzvah. And the Gemara is going to say, I'm sorry, that's not how it works. There's a hierarchy over here. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a mitzvah, the mitzvah is a mitzvah, whether or not you think that it applies in this situation is not up to you. It's a mitzvah, you have to keep it under all circumstances. And the Gemara is going to bring a number of cases where we seem to say the opposite. We seem to say that because of the circumstance, we're going to say that a person does not have to keep that particular mitzvah, and we're going to try to prove under what circumstances we say it. The Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amarav. Yehuda Amarav says, Hamotzei klayim bevigdo. Person finds that he's wearing klayim. He's wearing clothing, and he says, oh no, oh my gosh, I'm wearing shatnez. Halach is post on a field of a shuk. He needs to take off those clothing, even if he's in public, even if he's in the shuk, the marketplace, which obviously is going to be very embarrassing for him. Why? Because my taima ain't chachma, ve'ain tvuna, ve'ain etza l'neger Hashem. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, l'sobash klayim, l'sobash shatnez, which is Semra Pishtim Yachta, a person is not allowed to wear wool and linen together. Therefore, if a person discovers that his clothing contains wool and linen together, he must take it off immediately. And even if he's in public, even if it's going to be embarrassing, because a person can't say, hey, listen, this is not what Hashem had in mind. This is not what Hashem was talking about. Maybe Hashem meant under normal circumstances. That's not how it works. A mitzvah is a mitzvah, an isser is an isser. And therefore, a person finds he's wearing klayim, you take off the clothing, sight unseen right there. Now, I'm just going to point out to you that there's a big machlokas amongst the Rishonim how to read this Gemara. The way our Gemara reads it is, Hamotzei klayim bivigdo. A person finds klayim in his own clothing. So this becomes now a personal story. There are those who read it differently, which is Hamotzei klayim. A person finds klayim and they ignore the word bivigdo. Then they continue reading Poshna Afila Bashuk. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, what if I find that you are wearing klayim? I'm walking behind you, and I am a textile expert, and I can tell that your clothing has wool and linen together. Now, am I supposed to immediately just say, whoa, quickly rip it off and say, sorry, I saved you from wearing klayim? Or this is one of those situations which is like kind of mind your own business. So depending on whether you were the, read the word Bevigdo or not, is going to be what, how you'll read this Gemara. Now, there's a similar Mishnah, which discusses a case like this, where there is a Kohen who is sleeping, and he's sleeping without any clothing, he's covered up in his sheets, and there's another person in the room, and they discover in the middle of the night, Rahman al-Aslan, somebody died in the room. So a Kohen is not allowed to be in a room together with a mace. Do you have to tell the Kohen right away, get up, there's a mace, got to get out of the room. The Kohen has to quickly just run out of the room without any clothing. Or could you tap on the shoulder and say, I recommend you get dressed really quickly. And then after you get dressed, you say, sir, there's a mace in the room. In other words, when he doesn't know, if he's a shogig or a misasek, whether or not you're obligated to tell him. There is a fascinating tshuva from the Noda Yehuda, which is a very famous tshuva, a very, very sad tshuva, where the Noda Yehuda goes through a lot of this. And our Gemara really is the basis for this tshuva. There's a horrible, horrific story that happened where a person had a 3-year-long affair with his mother-in-law. And you know, as horrible as that sounds, that's the shaila that came to the Noda Yehuda. And the person, after many years, came to the Noda Yehuda and said, listen, I feel terrible, I feel horrible. This is in my past. This is something that I did. And the reality just is, I did this. I know I did it. I know that my mother-in-law and I had this affair many times. The truth is, it doesn't make a difference how many times it was, but he was expressing that it went on for a long time. She knew it. She wasn't an ones. She participated in it as much as she wanted. And he said, the problem is, my father-in-law is a very respected person. Now, for many years, I hid this information from him, but the reality is, his wife is an Ashes Ish Shazinsa. His wife is a married woman who had an affair, and that makes her usher to live with her husband. He's obligated to divorce her because they can't. She was Mizana Beratzon Tachas Baila. While she was married, she willingly gave consent and had this affair with me, says this guy. And right now, I feel terrible about what happened. I'd like to make the situation whole. What should I do? So his first shaila was, should I tell my father-in-law? This is the first question. Should I tell him? He's living Be'isr together with his wife. And Noda Yehuda goes on, he writes, it's a family, a very chashuva family. A lot of their children are very chashuva people. And if I were to spill these beans in public, what it would do to that family, it would absolutely decimate that family's name. That's number one. Number two, he wanted to know how to do tshuva. We don't have time to go through all this in the next 5 minutes, but the Noda Yehuda goes through our sugya. And he first starts with this shaila, which is, what happens if you find klayim in someone's clothing, but it's not my own clothing? Is it my business to get involved? Ultimately, it's machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rosh is the one who says you don't have to tell, and the Rambam paskins that way. However, he goes on, at the end he says he has to tell his father-in-law. The question was, does he have to tell his father-in-law that it was him? Or can you tell his father-in-law, listen, I've been involved in some investigations over here. I have some inside information, and I know for a fact that your wife was involved in this. And the Noda Yehuda ends off at the end saying that there's two pieces over here. There is the Ben Adam La Makom piece, where your father-in-law is living Be'isr, and there's the Ben Adam La Chavero piece. Look what you did. It was you who did it. You ruined your father-in-law's life. So you have to ask him for mechila. You have to apologize to him. And therefore, you have to tell him. The question is whether or not his father-in-law has to believe him. Does his father-in-law have to believe him when he's one aid, and he's saying that he did something wrong? So is the concept of ein adam meisim atzmo rasha apply over here? So if his father-in-law were to go, so if he were to go to his father-in-law and say, it was me who had this affair, does a person have the ability to actually testify about himself that he's a rasha? Or a person doesn't have the ability to testify about himself. He's an ogei abadavar. He is related to himself. Therefore, he can't be an aid. He can't be a witness about himself. Therefore, these 4 pages of the Noda Yehuda, I printed it out right before the shiur. I didn't have a chance to read through it all over again. And then he goes on to talk about the tshuva. But let's try to get back to our Gemara a little bit to get some information on how this works in a couple of minutes. What?
Just wear shatnez at that point.
Should wear shatnez. Yeah, he's better off wearing shatnez. Anyway, komakum sheishchil Hashem. Anytime there is a desecration of Hashem's name, which means a person is violating one of the yisurim in the Torah, in chalkim kavel rav, a person is not obligated to worry about honor. Meisvei. The Gemara asks the question. Hold on a second. Kavros hameis. They buried a meis. V'chazru, and they went back. V'lefneim beis drachim, As they're walking the Avel back home, so they took the Avel along with the deceased relative and they buried this person. Now they're going back home. Lefneim beis drachim. There are two ways. Achas tahora v'achas tameya. Along one pathway, it is tahar. Along another pathway, there is somebody who is tameh there, and this person is a kohen. So what's the halacha? Babet tahora b'inimo. If the avel, the one who is mourning, walks along the path of tahora, very good, follow him. B'inimo b'tahora. Babet tameh. If the mourner is walking along the path of the tameh root, halacha is b'inimo b'tameya nishum kavodo. They walk along with him to pay their respects, even if he's a kohen, he's going to become tamei. Amai, why would we say that a person is supposed to offer respect to the mourner just because he is paying respect? The bottom line is, he's a kohen. He's not going to become tamei. He doesn't have the opportunity to become tamei. We should say ein chachma lema ein chachma. Don't be so smart. Don't be so witty. In other words, don't come up with all these ideas and calculations. Kohen is not allowed to become tamei. You can't become tamei even if you're trying to pay respect to somebody. Gemara says, Tirgma Rabbi Abba Bebeis HaPras. Rabbi Abba explained, this is talking about a Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras is a big field where we suspect that there are bones of a deceased person, of a mace. It's not Tumah Midaraisa, and therefore it's Drabanan. The Tumah is only Midrabanan, so when it comes to a Din Midrabanan, because of Kavod Abrios, we will indeed suspend some Halachos Midrabanan, but not when it comes to Din Midaraisa. Dom Rav Huda Mishmol says, Benapeach Adam Beis HaPras Beholech, person kind of like blow away the pieces in front of them in a Beis HaPras, and he could continue going. The reason is because the reason why that is sufficient, you don't have to actually check, is because it's only Tumah Midrabanan. V'amar Yehuda Bar Ashi Mishmei Derav Beis HaPras Shenadosh Beis HaPras, which was trampled on, a lot of people walked there. Tahar, we assume it's going to be Tahar. So again, this is an area which we believe is not going to be Tumah Midaraisa. Therefore, we're going to be making and allow him to walk. We'll ask questions after. Just want to get one more in before Ma'ariv. Tashema, Damar of Elazar Bar Tzadik, Medalgin Hayino Agave Arona Shel Mesim. We would jump on top of the coffins of Mesim, Likras Malchi Yisrael, to go pay our respects to Jewish kings. And the Gemara goes on, V'lo Likras Malchi Yisrael Bilvad, not only before Jewish kings, Amru Ela Filu Likras Malchi Akum, even before the kings of Akum. Why? Shem Yizke Yavkin be Malchi Yisrael Malchi Akum. Ultimately, one day we'll be zochet to be able to differentiate between the two. But nowadays, we live in Galus, we have to make sure to pay proper respect to our leaders, and therefore they would jump on top of the coffins of the mace, even though they are Tomei and they are Kohanim. Why do we do that? You can't come up with all types of reasons why you think it's okay to violate Isurim. It's Aser, and if it's Aser, it's Aser. Gemara says, Kedarava Damarava, Dvar Torah, Oel, Kol Sheish Bochal Tefach, Chotzis Befnei Tuma, Veshem Bochal Tefach, Ine Chotzis Befnei Tuma. Vrova Ronos, Yesh Bochal Tefach, the Gazra, Sheish Bemishum, Mishum, Sheim Behem Mishum. Just to explain this in English. The halacha is, when it comes to tumah, there's something called tumah rutzutza bo ka'as ad l'rekia, v'im yesham chalal tefach, it stops. If there is a deceased person inside an enclosed area, if there is a tefach of space between the corpse and the top of the box, that tefach of space technically stops the tumah from rising. If there's less than a tefach of space, so there's very little air space between the top of the coffin and the corpse, then the tumah is going to go all the way up to the sky. Now, that being the case, in most aronos, in most coffins, the corpse is going to leave plenty of space between the body and the top of the aron. Either the person has to be very large, or the coffin has to be very small. That did not be the case. That being the case, we assume all these coffins are the type that have halal tefach, have space of a tefach, and therefore midoraisa the tumah stops, and therefore Kohen could ultimately go ahead and jump on top of each one of these coffins. There's no problem. The only reason why we don't do that under normal circumstances is because Chazal said, how are you going to know? You're going to check every single coffin to see whether or not there's enough space. So therefore Chazal said, every coffin is going to ultimately suspend the tumah out. But the bottom line is, this again is going to be assumed to be an issur midrabanan, and therefore when it comes to an issur midrabanan, because of kavod avrios, ultimately we will suspend the din midrabanan, but this does not apply by daraisa, such as plaim. We'll have to stop here for tonight. The Gemara goes on and continues all the way till Chaf Amar Aleph. Have a wonderful evening.